You can turn in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, the book of Habakkuk. Some of you say Habakkuk, so it's either Habakkuk or Habakkuk, okay? If you can't find it, it's on page 1286. At least in my Bible. This is a little bit of a continuation of last Sunday's message, but I'm excited about it. All right, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word this morning, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. I want to read the first three verses this morning. Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. And then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Somebody say, an appointed time. How many of you know when the Lord gives you a vision, it's not always for that moment? In fact, most times when God gives you a vision, it's for a future time. It's for a future season that he's revealing to you so you can be prepared, so that you can go into a time of preparation for what God is speaking to you about. So he says it's for an appointed time, okay? But listen to what he says next. But, everybody say but. Okay, even though there's a future time, he says, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. The vision will come to pass, and the purpose for the vision will come to pass. Though it tarries, wait for it. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be impatient. How many of you are impatient people? How many of you stand there and wait for the toast to pop out of the toaster? Or you stand at the microwave just watching it? It's not going to be any faster. It's just we're impatient. And so what does he say? Though it tarries, though the vision, the dream that God has given you tarries, he says this, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Father, would you bless this word to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I've been looking at, you know, this for a few days, and like I said, this is a continuation from last week, but I want to talk to you some more about vision, because how many of you still feel like this is kind of new to us? This being together, some of you don't, some of you do. That, you know, there's still this kind of transition period that, you know, it's still a little fresh. I think we're getting used to it. I think we're getting, you know, settled into the what we have been calling the new norm, the new normal, okay? But we're still moving forward in it. And so one of the things that's necessary is that we have vision and we develop vision, that we see what God has for us and we move in it. Now, these are important passages. You know, the prophet says, I will stand my watch. In other words, he would stand on his high tower. The high tower was a place where the watchmen would stand. They would climb up to the high tower that was built into the walls that surrounded a city. And they did that because they could have a better view of the landscape, but they could also see further off than normal. How many of you know when you're in an elevated position, you could see a whole lot more than when you're down ground level? Some of us have been living ground level for way too long. Some of us have had our feet planted on the rock, on the dirt so much that we have not allowed God to elevate us so that we can see what he wants us to see. How many of you want to see what God wants you to see? Do you want God to show you things that you cannot see from your perspective right now? You see, you can't see the things that God wants you to see where you're at right now. You have to leave that position and you have to get up onto higher ground. And so he says here, I will stand on my watch. The watch is the watchman. That means he was on a high tower here. And so we ought to have that same diligence that he had, because the watchman was diligent to see what was happening outside the walls of the city, to see if there was an enemy coming, to see if there were troops coming, to see if there were friendly people coming. But they had time to see, to look, and to have perspective before it arrived. And folks, we need to have the same thing. We need to have vision. We need to be able to see what God is seeing and showing us so that we can see from afar. And that's what was happening here with the prophet. He says, I'll set myself on the rampart to see what he'll say to me. How many of you want God to speak to you? Do you want God to show you things?
Yes.
You see, he positioned himself to be able to see. If you're not positioned, you won't be able to see the things that God wants you to see. You have to be in the right place at the right time. How many of you know that? Some of you who are, who remember the songs of old, secular songs of old, you remember that song that says, I was in the right place. What is the next phrase? But I was in the wrong time. Okay? I mean, that's what happens to a lot of us. We might be halfway there, but not fully there, and we still miss what God has for us. And so we need to come to this place where we understand this. And then he says, I'll watch and I want to hear what he has to say, how he'll answer me when I am corrected. And then he goes on to say, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Plain vision here, folks, moves at a higher speed than random vision. He says, when you have the vision and it's written down, you can run. Because you have it, you know it, you understand it, and now you can run with a vision at a higher speed than when you're not sure what you're doing. Because if you're not sure, you're hesitant. You hesitate, and you can hesitate spiritually if you don't know what God is up to. And how many of you know God is always up to something? God is always on the move. He's doing something, and we need to be in alignment with him so we can understand that, so we can run. With the vision, we can run with what God has for us and what he says is for us. Okay? So he said, the Lord answered. And he said, write the vision and make it plain. That's revelation. That's information downloading from heaven. If you know anything about computers, you know about downloading things onto your computer through the internet. It's coming through the atmosphere and it's connecting and now it's downloading into your system. It comes from an outside source to that source. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to download into us his plans, his purposes, and his vision. For us as a church, for you as an individual, for you as a family, in every aspect of our lives, God has a plan. Do you believe that? God has a purpose. And so we need to be able to be in tune with heaven so he can download into us what he wants us to know and what he wants us to see. So why make it plain? Well, because you can run. And so we need to make things plain, okay? And then he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. And that's important too, because a lot of times we get a little anxious. You know, God speaks to us and we want to do it right then. But it doesn't always happen that way. In fact, it rarely happens that way. Most times there is a process between the vision and the fulfillment. There's this process in the middle that we must go through, that the vision must go through, that events and circumstances must happen to get us to the place that God wants us to be. And so there's that process. Now, this is where I want to come to about vision, okay? Because without vision, you know what the scriptures say, people perish. People are unrestrained. People run wild without a vision. And so vision keeps us together. How many of you know as we develop vision together, it's going to keep us together? If we run with the same vision, folks, then we'll all run in unison. We'll all run in harmony. We'll all run in unity. We'll be running for the same purpose in the same direction. And it's always good to be running in the same direction. How many of you ever tried to run the wrong way? And all you do is hit into people. You run into obstacles because you're not running in the right direction. God wants us to have direction in our lives, so it keeps us together. Vision will keep us together, folks. And that's what we want to establish. Now, vision comes in two parts. There's visualization and there's implementation. Visualization, folks, is the dream. It's the vision. It's what God is beginning to show you. It's a thought. How many of you ever had a thought and you just suddenly said to yourself, what if? What if, concerning spiritual things, even though, have any of you ever asked a what if question to God? What if this were to take place? What if this were to happen? What if this was available? What if I could do this for the Lord? You see, that's the visualization. That's the dreaming part. How many of you are dreamers here this morning?
Amen.
Do you still have a dream? Do you still have a vision? You see, if it's from God, then it's something that we need to keep moving to. But the other half of the vision is this, it's implementation. It's putting it into shoe leather. You can have a vision, but if you never step into it and put it into shoe leather, it'll never take place. You have to act on it. You have to be willing to do as God calls you and He tells you to do. So vision is great, but the process is different. How many of you know that? The process is where we get hung up. The process is where we have difficulty in our lives. It's the process of getting there. Joseph, and I'm going to use Joseph as one of the illustrations this morning, he had dreams that developed into vision for his life. God was implanting something in him with the dreams that he had. This is what your future is like, but it was a dream. It was symbolic in nature, but it told him what the future was going to be like. God was filling him. He gave it to him in dreams, but the dreams were also visions of God of what was going to take place in his life. And that's important. That was incredible for him. But here's the thing about it. After he had the vision and the dream and realized it and told his family, which maybe he should not have done, but he did anyway, then Joseph encountered a lot of mess along the way to the fulfillment. So many things in his life that took place after the dream and after the fulfillment were the exact opposite of what the dream and the vision talked about. Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you? You had a dream, you had a vision, you wanted to do something. Even in the natural, you had a dream or vision to do something, but it seems like everything turned against you and everything was going the opposite way. That's what was happening in Joseph's life. Listen to what Dutch Sheets, he just wrote this. I caught a glimpse of it and I put it down. He said this, get rid of everything that makes you feel comfortable in a dreamless world. I want you to think about that. He says, get rid of everything that makes you feel comfortable in a dreamless world. If you don't have a dream for God, if God hasn't, you haven't allowed God to fill you with a dream of vision, you might be too comfortable in your present state. So if you got a lazy boy, sell it. Right? Yeah, some of you say no. Anything but my lazy boy. What happens is so many times, folks, we surround our lives with comfort that God has a difficult time breaking us out of to serve Him, because serving God will make you uncomfortable. Serving God will push you out of your normal activities and your normal description of a day. Your agenda on your calendar gets all messed up when God gets a hold of it. How many of you know that? How many of you know God says, show me your calendar and you know what's going to happen next? He's going to start erasing things and adding things and changing things. And he says, now here's your agenda. And so that, I love what he says, get rid of everything that makes you feel comfortable in a dreamless world. Comfort will keep you from dreaming. Comfort will keep you from receiving vision. Comfort will keep you from fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. You've got to be a little bit uncomfortable. Right? That's just the way it is. And then he goes on to this. He says, ask God to energize you with creativity and passion. You need to be energized with creativity and passion. He wants you to live. And then he says, really live. Really live. How many of you want to really live? Yeah. Not just live, but really live. Some of us are existing. Some of us are living. Few of us are really living. Really stepping into the full life that God has for us. How many of you believe that God has a much fuller life for you than you're living right now? That your spiritual life could be so much more if you just let go of God and let go with God and release some of those things that are making you too comfortable. If you release those things, God will show you a life. That's what I love about the scripture. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's talking about an abundance of spiritual life, an abundance of living that honors and glorifies God, that lifts up Jesus and gives you a life that is filled with purpose. But that word, more abundant, when he says more abundant life, I love it because it means a superseding life. It means a life beyond your wildest imaginations. You can live a spiritual life that's beyond your wildest imaginations if you will trust and let go and let God. How many of you want that kind of life? How many of you want to have a superseding spiritual life? How many of you at the end of the day want to have something to write down in your journal saying, this is what God did today? That's what we ought to be doing. God, don't let me end this day without experiencing something marvelous with you, something glorious with you, something that has to do with this life abundant, and let me write it down as a historical account of what you did. God wants us to have vision. Now, here's the thing about Joseph. Joseph's dreams died in Dothan. Dothan is a place where he was sold into slavery. Joshua's dreams, and I'm putting this in quotations, died. Quote, unquote, they died in Dothan. His dad, Jacob, said, you know, why don't you go out and check on the boys, make sure they're doing okay. They're feeding the sheep in Shechem. Joseph got to Shechem, and they said, no, we overheard him saying they went this way. So he caught up with them in Dothan. And it was in Dothan where it seemed like his dreams died. He had these dreams that God gave him and filled him with, but everything turned around in his life. It was there that he was sold into slavery. It was there that his brothers turned on him to kill his dreams. How many of you know that when God has given you a vision or a dream, there just might be somebody pop up wanting to kill it? Wanting to speak against it, wanting to say, no, that can't happen, or that won't happen, or what do you think? Are you kidding me? I mean, there are people that might not receive the vision. You know why they don't receive it? You know why they're against it? Because it's not about them. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it because it's not God speaking to them. It's God speaking to you. And so when it's in you, it's alive in you. But don't be surprised that it's not alive in somebody else. So here's the thing. Don't get your opinions about it from other people. Don't get your opinions about what God wants to do from others around you because they just might not understand. Joseph's brothers and even his parents didn't understand the dreams that he had. And so don't be surprised that people come against you. They wanted to kill his dreams. Listen, folks, when you follow and obey God, not everyone is going to like you. When you decide that you're going to follow and serve God, don't be surprised if there's some people that don't like you because of it. Ouch. And I'm talking about not just outside the church, I'm talking about inside the church. Amen. Because we don't understand what God is doing with each other. And we don't give enough grace to one another to let them move in the giftings and callings that God has given them. We think they have to be like us, and if God hasn't given me the dream, then he must not have given it to you. Don't think that way. Don't be an impediment to somebody who has a dream from God. When you dream God dreams, folks, people will oppose you, and some won't even like you. You just have to succumb to that, okay? You just have to realize that. Now, I've said this before, but people are watching us. People are watching us, right? People are having their opinions about us. People are having their opinions about what God is doing here at Church at Safford. There's plenty of opinions going on, folks. We hear it all the time. You know, so far we've had good opinions, at least to our face. Put that little caveat in there, okay? At least to our face, people are saying, hey, you know, I hear what's going on over there. Hope everything goes well and, you know, how's it going and God bless you and all this. But listen, folks, people are watching to see what's going to happen. You know, will it work? Will they survive? But this is a dream and this is a vision that God has given. And if this is a God dream and if this is a God vision, then it's up to him to fulfill it and it's up to us to submit to it. To surrender to God for his purpose to be accomplished. Now, here's another thing, folks. When opportunities come, when these Kairos seasons come, we talk about the Kairos seasons. The Kairos season is the right time, okay? It's a critical time. It's an opportunistic time, a time of opportunity. And that's where we're in right now, this Kairos season. So when these seasons come, so does opposition. Many times, so does opposition come. When God is moving, there will be a counter move that often comes against it. So you walk through the door God opens in spite of who wants to shut it. You have to walk through it. You have to believe God for it. Joseph's dreams died there, but here's the thing, folks. Joseph's dreams died, but his God did not. Now you got to catch that, folks. Joseph's dreams, and again in quotations, Joseph's dreams died there because the exact opposite took place in his life, began to happen in his life than what the dreams were foretelling. So in one sense, his dreams died, but the reality of it is his God never died. And so the God of vision never died. So if the God of vision doesn't die, neither will the vision die. No matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what you see, even though everything goes contrary to what God has purposed in your life, if everything is contrary, if this is a God dream, God is the one that will make it come to pass.
Right. Gotta trust in God.
So Joseph, in one sense, had his dream die. Okay, that was him. But if the dreams are for God, folks, let me tell you, they won't die. Paula White said this recently. She said, one day, I like this, one day you will thank God for everything that didn't work out when you see what does work out. Isn't that good? One day you're going to thank God for everything that did not work out in your life, because you will finally see what did work out, and it was God that was working it in you, but he had to get you through all the stuff that didn't work out so that you can get to the things that he wanted to work out. Abraham was promised a child, but he did things that did not work out. He had a child that was not the promised child. And he had to get beyond what didn't work out. He had to get beyond his physical capabilities and abilities to have children, and so did Sarah, so that God could bring him to the point of fulfilling what God promised. And I'm sure back then, I think Abraham in his own way said, God, thank you that it happened in spite of me. How many of you know sometimes things happen in our lives in spite of us? Has that ever happened to you? Well, that's kind of what Paula White's saying. One day you'll thank God for everything that didn't work out when you see what does work out. When you see what does work out. I think that's pretty powerful, folks. Now, let me talk to you about something here. If God is tied to the vision, then if, when the vision dies, we feel as though God dies with it. Sometimes we feel like God has abandoned us. Sometimes we feel like the vision was failing. But it's not the case, is it? Because if the vision is tied to God, even if the vision you have received, quote unquote, dies in you, it's the reality that the vision is tied to God that'll make it come to pass. That'll make it happen. So no matter what happens to the vision in the natural, listen, folks, God is still in control. Can anybody here this morning say God is still in control? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is in control? Then shout it out, God is in control. Sometimes you just have to convince yourself. You see, sometimes we know it in theory, but sometimes we have to convince ourselves in reality that God is in control no matter what I say or think or feel. God is still in control. Now, there's a process, or death is often a part of the process, rather, of the vision becoming reality. That's what happens with seeds when they get planted. We say they die. Okay? Jesus said, if a seed fall to the ground and die. If it doesn't, it remains alone. If it dies, it bears much fruit, right? So farmers know this. Okay? Farmers know the value of putting seed into the earth. I want to show you a little video here about what happens to a seed when it gets planted, because there's spiritual things that are connected to this. So let's go ahead and play that video. I wanted to show that to you because this is the part of the message I really want you to grab hold of. Okay? The scripture I just shared, John 12:24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of salt, a grain of wheat falls to the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it says it produces much grain." And we know Jesus is speaking about him in the first person, in that first primary instance. Jesus died, was buried. That's what he's speaking about, that he is going to die. But out of that is going to be much fruit. But it's also a principle in life, because a seed must die, quote unquote, in order for something incredible to happen. There must be a burial. There must be a death of that seed, so to speak. And it has to be buried so the process of germination can take place. There is a germinating, and I'm talking about natural, but I'm talking about some spiritual things here. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you a dream, it's usually in the form of a seed. It's something planted inside of you. And this is what I want you to get. So there is a germination that takes place. It comes out of dormancy and it begins to grow. It begins to become activated. Water is added to the field. Water, the moisture, is added to the soil. And the seed begins to absorb the water. And as it does, it swells up until it swells beyond its capacity to contain it. So what happens in your life when God plants a seed in you? You begin to swell up. You have to absorb the water of the Word. You have to absorb the water of God that He's giving into your life so that it can germinate inside of you and things can begin to happen. So the seed fills with water. It's called imbibation, where it's drinking in. So the seed drinks. It absorbs water. The water activates. What it does is it activates special proteins in that seed called enzymes, and this begins a process of growth. But this is really where I'm getting to, okay? Your vision, the vision that God has placed in you, must have this water to absorb. If God has given you a vision and planted inside of you a seed of something that He has for you, a vision, a dream, it's a seed. But without the water of the Word, without the water of His will, without the water of revelation, without the water that God places in you and He can place in you through the Word of God, it will not activate. There has to be something that is given to it so that it can begin to germinate. So absorption can take place by water coming in and feeding it. In other words, no water, there's no germination. Now, in this video, what was the first thing that sprouted out? The first thing that sprouted out underground with nobody seeing it is roots had to be established first. And if you saw the roots begin to shoot out before you saw the sprout starting to go up. The first thing that must take place in a vision, the first thing that must take place in a dream that God has given you, is you have to establish some roots for what God is going to grow in your life to have stability and the strength to endure. Amen. So many times we want the shoot to sprout out first. God said it, let's do it, and we try to make it happen, but there's no root system to establish us in firm soil, in the firm ground, so that God can make it grow properly. And so roots have to be established. The first thing a seed does is grow a root downward so that it can access water underground. All this is taking place without being seen. All this is happening inside of you with a vision, the seed of a vision that you don't see. God is putting roots down in your life so that when the vision comes to pass, you can handle it. You can handle it. That's what He is doing. Okay? That's what He does first, okay? Now, here's something for the new Christian, for the new convert, for the new Christian, folks. It's imperative that that young new believer find a water source to put down roots quickly. The first thing for a new convert, the first thing, and let me just give you a praise report. The month of January, we have recorded 19 souls saved for the month of January. 19 souls that have put their trust in Jesus Christ. What's the next most important thing for that person who's now saved? It's most important that they begin to shoot roots downward before any shoot rises up. It has to be that way. There must be a root system that begins to establish you in the faith. So for the new Christian, it's imperative that they receive the Word of God, that they hear the Word of God, that they're taught the Word of God, so the roots can go down so God can prepare them for what's ahead. I pray that that's happening. So when you have a vision, you have a dream, things have to happen, folks, that are out of sight but are necessary. If you have a dream that hasn't come to pass yet and you're wondering, God, why has not this vision that you've given me, this dream you've given me, come to pass? It's probably because he's doing something in the hidden place before it can be revealed.
Right.
And so we have to be willing to let God have his way, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, let God have his way. Now let's get back to Joseph. What was happening in Joseph's life? Here it is. In a sense, to Joseph, his dreams died, but they were really germinating. Things were germinating inside of him underneath the surface, below the surface where nobody could see it. Nobody could see it because he was over in Egypt now. The family didn't know him. The family didn't see him anymore. The family thought he was dead. So he was in a hidden place. And it's in that hidden place that the roots began to grow. Germination began to take place. So here's what's happening. Roots were shooting downward while he was a slave. Did you hear me? In his adversity, in the time that it looked like everything was opposite, while he was a slave, God was shooting roots down in his life. Roots were shooting downward while he was in prison. You might think, well, why did God lead him to prison? Why did God allow him to prison? That's not what God intended for him. That's not what God purposed. God is saying in the hidden place, I have to let roots go down deep. I have to let the root system develop before I can put you in the place and position I have for your future. Joseph was not ready to be second in command of all of Egypt. He was not ready to take and ascend that position to be second only under Pharaoh. God had to establish a root system in his life that was going to make him stable and strong and do the will of his father. And so that's what's happening here. Roots were going downward when he was forgotten. Because not only was he in prison, he was forgotten in prison. When he was supposed to be, his name was supposed to be brought before the Pharaoh, it was forgotten. And so now he's forgotten, but in the forgotten place, roots were going down. Just because you think God is not doing anything does not mean God is not doing anything. In fact, when you think God is not doing anything, might be the time he's really at work in your life. That he's really shooting roots downward so you can be prepared for the next season of your spiritual life. How many of you want to be ready for the next season of your spiritual life? Look at your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. But what's going to happen to get you ready? You know what's going to happen? Adversity. Opposite of what you think is going to happen just might take place to get you ready. So just because things turn the opposite way does not mean God is not working in your life. Here's another thing. The roots that went down first, and this should be on a slide, the roots that went down first before the manifestation of the dream's fulfillment established and strengthened them where God intended for his future. We have to understand that, folks. When things are going the opposite way, you're growing roots. You're growing roots. So here's another thing, folks. The place of your suffering. The place of your suffering can also be the place of your deliverance and your promotion. The place of your suffering can be the place of your deliverance and it can be the place of your promotion. The place of Joseph's suffering, the place of his adversity was the very place that he was promoted from. He was promoted, and you've heard that saying, from the prison to the palace. From the prison to the palace. Why? Because it was God's purpose to establish roots in his life. And folks, what we need to do here at Church at Safford is we need to establish fresh roots. We need to establish fresh vision, fresh roots that are going to establish us and hold us for the future that God has for us. How many of you believe God still has a future for Church at Safford? I believe he does. He's always had future. This place has been an incredible place of vision. You can see, just walking the grounds, you can see the incredible vision that has taken place over the years. But it does not mean vision is over. It means vision can continue. And so we have to establish roots going downward as a unified fellowship that we can see God do things that we haven't seen him done before. So here's another thing I wanted to get to before we close out. When you cannot change your circumstances, change your perspective. When you cannot change your circumstances, change your perspective on how you see things. Because so many times things aren't going to work out the way we think, and circumstances, you know, kind of turn our lives backwards. But we have to understand that God has a different perspective than we do. How many of you know that? God has a totally different perspective than we do. God is showing you your inadequacy so he can show you that he is more than enough. Because until you see your inadequacy, you think you can do it. Until you see it, your inadequacy, you think that it can happen circumstantially. It can happen based on what you have, the resources you have. But when God shows you your inadequacy, he can show you his more than enough. How many of you want to see God's more than enough? I can remember when we were working on the building over there, that's now Desert Springs. We purchased it. We were remodeling it. We were doing all these things. We started our construction. We bought the property with $30,000 in the bank total. I mean, $30,000 in the bank. That was it. We had about $180,000 or so worth of reconstruction we had to do. And that's with all kinds of volunteer labor. I'm talking about just the materials and things that we had to do. About $180,000 worth of work that needed to be done over 18 months that we spent remodeling. I can remember Pastor Dale coming over and seeing us once in a while. He'd catch me outside. And one time he said, "Ronnie, let me ask you a question." I said, "Okay." You know, when a man of God asks you that question, you kind of tremble a little bit. So I kind of gathered my composure and I said, "Okay." He asked me this. He says, "How are you doing it? How are you doing it?" And I said, "Pastor, to be honest with you, I don't know." I said, "All I can say is it's God." You know what Pastor Dale told me? He said, "I know exactly what you mean." He says, "Because I've seen that in my own life and ministry." He said, "It can only be God." He said, "I understand what you're saying." Let me tell you something. We started with $30,000. We spent about $180,000 or so, you know, remodeling over 18 months. When we opened with our first service, guess what? We had $30,000 in the bank. With all that going on, we still had $30,000 in the bank. And that was all we had, but praise God, we had it. And God began to bless, and the finances were coming in to establish a new dwelling, a larger facility, more air conditioning, more all of the mechanical stuff, you know, the things that have to go on with. But God made provision. Why? Because if it's God's work, it'll be done God's way. And I'm telling you, when you don't understand and you don't think it's going to happen, you don't know how it's happening, all you can say, "But God." Somebody say, "But God." Look at your neighbor and say, "But God." Don't forget that. Because there are going to be times you're going to be saying, "It's not going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. It looks impossible. It just doesn't seem like anything's going to happen." But if you will add, "But God," it changes everything you just said. It nullifies everything you just said. "I don't know if my children will ever serve God. I don't know if my children will ever come back. I don't know if these prodigals will ever come back. But God." But God. Somebody say, "But God." There's a situation in your life that you might need, but God. There's something going on in your life that you might need today. Say, "But God." That puts God in perspective, and that nullifies everything you just said about the negative. But God. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Isn't that good? And all the time, God is good. I love that. Folks, don't let go of the vision, the dream that God has given you personally. Don't let go of the dream and vision that God is filling us with here corporately. We've got to shoot roots downward so that we can see the growth upward. We've got to see it happen. Before the first shoot breaks out of the ground, before that little tiny twig pops out of the earth, there are roots established that are more than able to hold it steady. They might be tiny roots, but it's a tiny fledgling, isn't it? And as this grows, so does that grow. And so don't forget that the root system is what's important in your life. It's not what we see on the surface. It's what God sees underneath the surface that's important for your spirituality. That's what's important, folks. We're developing vision. We're seeing what God has for us. I believe it's good things. I believe we need to continue to trust God. Now, here's the thing about Joseph, and I'm going to end with this. Joseph was in that hidden place. He didn't know what to do because everything was opposite. But the scriptures tell us this, and God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. In that hidden place, God was doing something with Joseph. And so you know what Joseph did? Again, I'm talking about perspective here. Joseph was sold into slavery into Potiphar's house. So Joseph said this, if I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be a good slave. And he determined to serve God as a slave. He determined to be faithful to his God as a slave. He was put in prison because of a false accusation. And so he gets into prison. He says, well, I'm in prison now, God. So I'm going to be a good prisoner. I'm going to be the best prisoner there is. And he was. And even when he was forgotten, he still said, God, I'll be the best forgotten prisoner there is. Because as long as he had the right perspective, he was allowing God to shoot roots down into his life so that one day he was remembered. One day God brought his name back up to Pharaoh. One day he stood before Pharaoh and interpreted what needed to be interpreted, and he rose up to the second in command of all Egypt. Why? Because the roots had been established. So wherever you're at, be the best you can be. Those of you who have occupations, you're out there working, be the best employee your boss has ever seen. Be the best employee the company has ever seen. Make them look at you and say, what's different about you? And you can say, I do this as unto the Lord, not unto man. I'll give you my very best. That's what I told my boss over in Mesa when I first got hired for painting. I didn't know a lick about painting. Didn't know a lick about it. And about 3 months after I was hired, I was a prepper. I was a cubby. You know, just learning the very basics. I felt led of the Lord to do this. So I went into the superintendent's office of the paint department. And I said, can I speak to you for just a minute? He said, sure. This was after work. And I said, I just want you to know where I'm at. I want you to know who I am. I said, I want you to know that as long as I'm here on the job, I'm going to give you 100%. I'm going to give you everything I have. But I want you to know that my priorities are not this job. My first priority is to God. I said, my number one priority is to love God and serve him. I said, my number two priority is to my family. I said, I want to serve my family. I want to provide for my family. This job does it. I said, but number three, I said, I'll, and I didn't talk about the church much, but I just said, I'll give you my work. I said, but that's the order of where I come from. And if you can understand that for me as a person, you know, I'll give you everything I have. And he said, I am so glad you came and told me. He said, I appreciate that. He said, I want God to be first in your life. He said, I want your family to be that important in your life. I said, but that's where I'm coming from. There's nothing wrong with describing it and showing it and telling it. It keeps us on the same page. And he and I had conversations. He wasn't a born-again Christian. He wasn't a born-again Christian, but we had conversation and conversation about it, that I was able to share my faith with him. So don't be afraid to be the best employee that company has ever had. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment as we close. All this that I'm saying here begins in a person's life, can happen in a person's life who knows Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And if there's someone here this morning that you don't know Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, that you've never trusted him to forgive you of your sins, to save you from the penalty of your sins, and to make you a child of God, Jesus basically said this. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. The born again experience is coming to recognize that you're a sinner and that you need forgiveness for those sins. Coming to repentance is necessary for salvation. A turning from our sins and receiving Christ by faith as our Savior. I know so many of you, and I know you've done that. You repented of your sins. You received Christ as your Savior. But if there's anyone here this morning that you've not received Christ as your Savior, you've not been truly born again, your sins truly are not yet forgiven, the Bible says you only have this life to make your choice. Only this life. And so if there's anyone here that you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you don't know. Maybe there's a question in your mind this morning and in your heart that you're not sure whether you're born again. You're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. But this morning, you want to make sure. You want to know that your sins are forgiven. You want to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord. You want to confess that he died for your sins and he rose again the third day to give you hope for eternity. If that's you this morning, would you just slip up a hand? Would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I need to make that decision today. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your lifetime. Is there anyone here that needs to make that decision this morning? My prayer is that you know Christ is your Lord and Savior. Please make that your first priority in life, if not. Please make that your first priority. Jesus came, suffered, and died on the cross, spilt his blood so that he might be able to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And it's a glorious thing when he saves you, when he saves your soul, and he forgives your sin. Would you stand with me, please? And I'm just going to ask you where you're at right now. Just to have a little conversation with God and just say, God, I want to be filled with a God vision. I want to be filled with a God dream. I want this church to be filled with a God dream. I want vision and dreams to fill my life that I might surrender to it. Ask God to help you to shoot roots downward. But the roots will go downward to stabilize your life for the things that he has in store for you for the future. Because God has a future for us. He has a future for you. So, Father, as we close this service this morning, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us, and we thank you, God, that you have purpose for us. And God, I do pray that you would take us out of those places of comfort that prevent the seed from germinating in us. I pray, Father, that you would, as we water the seed with the Word of God, with prayer, with fasting, with intercession, with those tools that you've given us, I pray, Father, that the seed would swell. I pray that it would break forth and that roots would begin to shoot down so that the shoot itself can rise up. But Father, we're looking for great things this year. We're looking for great things in this decade till Jesus comes. We want to be part, Father, of the end time harvest. We want to be part, Father, of what you're doing in these last days. So prepare our hearts, God. Fill us with vision and dream, God, that we can serve you with a whole heart. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of being together, Father. We ask that you be with us as we go from this house. We give you praise and glory for your goodness towards us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Will the Lord bless you. You have a great day today in Jesus' name.